South Dakota Public Broadcasting, sdpb.org.
Prayer will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Shawnee Price of Mud Butte. Please rise. Let's join together in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for each individual that's here. We pray that the deliberations that are made might be best for the state of South Dakota and according to your will for us. Thank you again, Father, for the many who are serving us overseas, giving their lives and their time for us to protect us. We ask that you'd keep them from harm. Again, as we come before you, we ask that you would guide us. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
The Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Abdallah, Adelstein, Ahlers, Bartling, Bradford, Brown, Dempster, Frisley, Gant, Garnels, Gillespie, Gray, Hanson, Tom, Hanson, Gary, Haverly, Heideprim, Howie, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Durstead, Klocek, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Norstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Teason, Turback, Berry Valley. There is a quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 18th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Is there a second? The motion is to approve the journal. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Members of the Senate, please join Senator Garnos and welcome to the Senate gallery the Lyman County High School senior government class and Mr. Authier, their chaperone. Please stand from Lyman County and be recognized. Welcome. Also, the doctor of the day is with us. Please join me in thanking him, Thomas Dean from Westington Springs. Dr. Dean, thank you, sir, for serving us today. We'll begin with the executive appointments.
The Senate proceeds to the consideration of the executive reappointment of Michael Ropp of Brookings County, Brookings, South Dakota, to the South Dakota Energy Infrastructure.
Remarks on the reappointment of Michael Ropp. Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. President. I urge you to support the reinstatement of Michael Ropp into this position. Michael is a very good friend of mine, and he does nothing halfway. He is a master of many different things and very energetic in his field. And notwithstanding that, he also is very, very musically inclined and composes music. He's a fine man. I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being does the Senate, Senator Bradford, you have the floor, sir.
Just one thing, thank you, Mr. President, I wanted to say was that I did some checking on Michael, and he's paid all his taxes.
That's good to know. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Senator. There being no further comment, the question is, does the Senate advise and consent to the reappointment of Michael Ropp, pursuant to the message as found on page 330 of the Senate Journal. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah. Aye. Adelstein.
Aye.
Ahlers.
Aye.
Bartling.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Dempster.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Garnos.
Aye.
Gillespie.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hanson Tom.
Aye.
Hanson Gary.
Aye.
Haverly.
Heideprim,
Howie, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Durstead, Klocek, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Norstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Teason, Turback Berry, Valley,
aye.
Senator Howie.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 35 ayes.
So the question has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect, and the President declares the reappointment is confirmed. Communications and petitions.
February 6, 2009. Dear Mr. President and members of the Senate, pursuant to the provisions of SDCL 24-13-1 and subject to your confirmation, the court has appointed K.F. Nicholas, an attorney from Sisseton, South Dakota, to the Board of Pardons and Paroles. Accordingly, the court requests that you submit said appointment to the Senate for consent. Very truly yours, Shirley A. Jameson Fertile.
That appointment is referred to the Committee on Judiciary for their recommendation. Members of the Senate, former Senator Gary Nelson is with us at the rear of the chamber. Would you stand, sir, and be recognized? Welcome. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports has had under consideration House Bill 1001 and recommends said bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and House Bill 1004, which was amended and recommends said bill do pass as amended, and Senate Bill 135, which was tabled, Larry Roden Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Education respectfully reports has had under consideration Senate Bills 91, 174, 185, which were amended and recommend said bills do pass as amended, and Senate Bill 132, which was tabled, and Senate Bills 118 and 172, which were deferred to the 41st legislative day, Cooper Garnell's chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports has had under consideration Senate Bill 173 and House Bills 1066 and 1084 and recommend said bills do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and Senate Bill 156, which was amended, and recommend said bill do pass as amended, and Senate Bill 152, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day, Jean G. Abdallah, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Commerce respectfully reports has had under consideration Senate Bill 128 and recommends said bill do pass, and House Bills 1114, 1115, and 1116, and recommends said bills do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and Senate Bill 77, which was amended, and recommends said bill do pass as amended, and Senate Bill 187, which was amended and recommends said bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Russell Olson, Chair.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bills 1028, 1111, 1134, 1145, 1154, 1177, and 1205, which have passed the House, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Karen Gertis, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions.
Yesterday, Senator Knutson announced his intention to reconsider the vote by which Senate Joint Resolution 1 passed.
Senator Knutson, do you wish to make that motion?
I do, Mr. President.
Is there a second? Motion is made and seconded to reconsider the vote by which Senate Joint Resolution 1 passed. Remarks on that motion. Senator Knutson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be very brief. I do think the subject matter of this joint resolution is such that it merits further consideration by the members of the Senate. It's my hope that people have had a chance to reflect on their votes from yesterday and that the outcome will change.
Further remarks? Senator Heidepren?
Mr. President, I'm not sure if Senator Dempster is running camouflage here or... Mr. President, members of the Senate, we did have a good debate yesterday on this important issue, and I'm reminded of Senator Knutson's words when we started the session yesterday morning, and I asked for reconsideration of a vote that died 18-17, and he remarked that the bill had a good fair hearing on the floor of the Senate, and he preferred that we not reconsider at that time, and that's my feeling now. Certainly, the issues were thoroughly aired, and we had a real good chance to think about it, and I'd appreciate the chance to get the bill shipped over to the House so that they can have consideration of it. Thank you.
Further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Senator Knutson? Senator Abdallah?
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, agree that we had a long debate on this bill, and it passed by a 20-15 margin. I believe that's a stretch to reconsider. We've got plenty of bills on the floor. We've got plenty of bills coming. And I think that the attempt to reconsider on most bills should be when they're very, very close. This isn't close. I urge this body to vote not to reconsider.
Further remarks? Senator Knutson, does any member wish to speak before Senator Knutson speaks a second time? Senator Knutson.
Mr. President, just with regard to Senator Heideprim's remarks, I was just going to remind him of Ralph Waldo Emerson's great line that consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question is Senator Knutson's motion to reconsider the vote by which SJR 1 lost. Those in favor of reconsideration say aye. Those opposed to reconsideration say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah? No. Adelstein?
Yes.
Ahlers?
No.
Bartling?
No.
Bradford?
No.
Brown?
No.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
No.
Garnos?
No.
Gillespie?
No.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom? Hanson Gary?
No.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
No.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
No.
Hunhoff?
No.
Durstead? Plochek?
No.
Knutson?
Aye.
Maher?
No.
Merchant? Miles? Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
No.
Nordstrup? Olson?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt? Teason?
Aye.
Trebek-Berry?
No.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 16 ayes, 19 nays.
So the motion to reconsider SJR 1 has failed to receive an affirmative vote of the members-elect, so the motion is lost, and SJR 1 will not be reconsidered. Consideration of reports of committees.
Senator Knutson moves that the reports of the standing committees on state affairs on Senate Bill 180 is found on page 329 of the Senate Journal. Also, local government on Senate Bill 183 is found on page 330 of the Senate Journal. Also, state affairs on Senate Bill 202 is found on page 330 of the Senate Journal be adopted.
Is there a second? Motion is to adopt the reports of standing committees. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. First reading of House bills and joint resolutions.
House Bill 1111, an act to clarify and repeal certain redundancies in the provisions relating to the sale of substandard milk. House Bill 1134, an act to require notice of the cost of certain public notices. House Bill 1145, an act to revise provisions related to the waiver or reduction of certain special assessments. House Bill 1154, an act to revise certain requirements for eligibility for opportunity scholarships. House Bill 1177, an act to revise the definition of transmission facilities. House Bill 1128, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the regulation of real estate appraisers and the conditions upon which a penalty may be imposed on a real estate appraiser. And House Bill 1205, an act to permit an applicant for a responsible broker's license to complete the required 15 hours of education beyond the broker association level after licensure as a responsible broker.
Those of you in the gallery, those seven bills which the Secretary just read, their titles, they have all passed the House of Representatives and now come over to the Senate. They must be passed here as well. The first step in the process is for those bills to be referred to a committee of the Senate, which will make its recommendation to the full body. Those seven bills are referred to the following committees for their recommendation: to Agriculture and Natural Resources, House Bill 1111, to Commerce Committee, House Bills 1028 and 1205, to the Education Committee, House Bill 1154, to the Local Government Committee, House Bills 1134 and 1145, and to the State Affairs Committee, House Bill 1177. Second reading of consent calendar items.
Pursuant to Senate Rule 6-1, the President removed House Bill 1133 from the consent calendar. House Bill 1023, an act to authorize the Secretary of Transportation to create limited speed zones through highway work areas under certain conditions. And House Bill 1134, an act to revise certain provisions relating to earnings subject to garnishment.
Members of the Senate, House Bill 1133 requires a two-thirds vote, and that's why it's been removed from the calendar. It'll be on tomorrow's calendar, because that bill raises some fees that go to a continuously appropriated fund. The other two bills, for those of you in the gallery, are placed on the consent calendar. They were reported back from the Senate committee with a unanimous recommendation do pass. They're relatively non-controversial, thus there's going to be no debate on the floor, only questions for clarification, and then one vote on both remaining consent calendar items. Are there any questions on either of the consent calendar items? Seeing none, there'll be one vote on both items. Those in favor of the consent calendar items say aye. Those opposed say no. The secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah? Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Unhoff? Jurstead? Pocheck? Knudsen? Maher? Merchant? Miles? Nelson? Nesselhoff? Nordstrup? Olson? Peterson? Rhodes? Roden? Excuse me. Okay, thank you. Schmidt? Teason? Turback Berry? Valley? Senator Adelstein? Senator Abdallah, excuse me. I got your eye, sir. Oh, Senator Abdallah? Senator Abdallah. Mr. President, there are 34 ayes, one excused.
So the consent calendar items have received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect and are declared passed. Any questions on the titles? Seeing none, the titles are deemed correct. Members of the Senate, Wessington Springs was our host this morning in the House and Senate lobbies with representation from the Area Development Corporation, Avera West Coda Memorial Medical Center and West Coda Manor, and also Wessington Wind 1 and the Wessington Springs School Districts. Do we have any representatives from Wessington Springs here now? Here they are. Well, of course, our doctor of the day, and I'm assuming that's your wife, sir. Thank you for your service in that regard. We'll move now to a second reading of Senate bills and joint resolutions.
Senate Bill 115, an act to revise certain provisions related to the initiation of modifications to the county comprehensive plans.
Senate Bill 115 has had its second reading now and is up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Gary Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 115 deals with requirements set forth for which to bring a petition to the county commissioners. The changes are in 11.2.28 in the county planning and zoning part of the codified law. And all we're doing, the law as it sets now, is adding the three words, registered to vote. Before it was landowners. And the landowners can be cemeteries, people that own the cemetery or associations. It could be the city because it owns some land. They could be people that own land and live in New York City. There could be varying amount of people on that title. The landowners in Cumbersome, you have to get 30% of those landowners before to get a petition to the county commissioners. Well, that bar was too high. So what we're doing is lowering the bar and saying those landowners that are registered vote in that zoning area. Now, we're not circumventing any powers of the county commissioners. We're not changing anything in the bill. We're not trying to take any powers away. All this does is making it a little easier to get a petition to the county commissioners. The process for which the petition goes through, from the county commissioners, the planning board, the zoning, and back to the county commissioners who have to deal with, doesn't change. We just lowered the bar. The 30% of the landowners was too much. Now we're doing the landowners that are registered to vote in that area. And hopefully, cooperatively, you can vote for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for the sponsor.
State your question.
Senator, if Three Brothers incorporated their farm and that's how they operated their farm and they all lived in the same county, but the land was owned by their corporation, with this language change, would those three brothers each have a vote or each have an opportunity to sign the petition.
Senator Hanson, you wish to respond.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Gant. I don't know. I'm not a corporate lawyer. I don't know if the president of the corporation would have one vote or if they all have three. I couldn't tell you that, Mr. Senator.
Senator Gant, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 115? Seeing none, the question is final consideration of Senate Bill 115. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
No.
Dempster?
No.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
No.
Garnos?
No.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
No.
Hanson Tom?
No.
Hanson Gary? Haverly?
No.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
No.
Unstead?
Aye.
Unhoff?
No.
Gerstead?
Aye.
Klocek?
Aye.
Knudsen?
No.
Maher?
No.
Merchant?
No.
Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
No.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Nerstrup?
No.
Olson?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt? Thiessen?
Aye.
Herbeck Berry? Valley? Mr. President, there are 18 ayes, 17 nays.
Senate Bill 115 has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 72, an act to make an appropriation to initiate a Master of Social Work degree program in higher education.
Senate Bill 72 has had its second reading now and is up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, Senate Bill 72 is a proposal to initiate a Master's of Social Work program at the University of South Dakota. This bill is brought before you today to address the current and future workforce shortage in South Dakota created by a number of factors. Currently, we're the only state that does not have an MSW program, public or private. As you all know, we have an aging population that will increasingly need MSW services. And an aging workforce that means many of our current MSWs in South Dakota are nearing retirement. What are MSWs? It's a Master's of Social Work program, as I said before. You'll find MSWs in a variety of settings, including mental health agencies, child protection, foster care and adoption, long-term care services, hospice, and hospitals. MSWs are a critical part of the workforce needed to fulfill our commitment to providing services to vulnerable populations. They work with individuals from birth to death. They are trained professionals whose skills involve helping organize and coordinate the necessary support systems to help clients maintain independence. MSWs are implementers skilled at working with individuals and families in a variety of settings, and I want to give you a few examples of what they do. They assist in keeping aging individuals in their homes and communities. They provide support to keep persons out of the correction system and transition those currently in the system back in the community. They support children in foster care settings. They provide mental health services to a returning veteran trying to transition back into his or her community. They coordinate medical and social services for individuals transitioning from acute health care settings to their homes, helping to assure compliance with treatment and medications, assisting with insurance and other financial resources. During the hearing on this issue in both the Health and Human Services Committee and the Appropriations Committee, we heard about the impact of the shortage from employers across the state. They reported significant difficulties recruiting MSWs to the state, which impacts their ability to deliver services, to receive reimbursement, and to keep facilities open and to maintain accreditation standards. The lack of MSWs which are eligible to be reimbursed by Medicare is especially important in addressing the needs of our aging population and aging veterans. Without a Medicare eligible provider, clients are on waiting lists for treatment, must bear the costs themselves, or costs are shifted to Medicaid. Providers reported turning away clients because they have so few MSWs to provide services. The South Dakota Social Work Association has been working with employers, the departments of Health and Labor, and the Board of Regents over the past 18 months to quantify the need and come up with recommendations. The program proposal was developed and included in the Regents' budget, but was not included in the Governor's recommended budget. The program would begin recruiting faculty in 2009 and admit the first students in 2010 once accreditation requirements have been met. A total of 20 graduates would be available for employment by 2012. Somewhat like the medical profession, we would essentially start growing our own. We need to start offering this program in South Dakota to allow our people in the field to get their education and do their clinical work right here in South Dakota. We know that individuals, whether it be MSWs or nurses or doctors, who do their clinical work here are more likely to stay here. The proposed program also anticipates offering a distance learning program in the near future once accreditation is achieved. That would promote access to advanced training by employees who need or want to remain in their jobs and communities. Employers at the hearing reported their interest in helping support the program by assisting employees to pursue advanced training through offering tuition assistance, time off, and providing clinical practicum supervision. Several employers are already providing some of the assistance to grow their own. As you can see in the bill, Senate Bill 72, it has been amended in Appropriations Committee to provide a dollar of funding. Obviously, a dollar funding will not accomplish what we want to accomplish, but as we've seen before, this will serve as a placeholder in the appropriations process until we can make all of our final budget decisions. I would ask for you today to move the bill along to the House so we have more time to talk about this, and I would finally just ask for your support on this important workforce issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question is final consideration of Senate Bill 72. Even though the appropriation is only a dollar, it is nevertheless an appropriation. So a two-thirds vote is required for passage. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah?
Aye.
Edelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant? Garnos,
aye.
Gillespie,
aye.
Gray,
aye.
Hanson Tom, Hanson Gary, Haverly, Ida Prim, Howie, Hunstead, Unhoff, Jurstead, Klocek, Knudsen, Maher,
aye.
Merchant,
aye.
Miles,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nesselhoff,
aye.
Nordstrup,
aye.
Olson, Peterson, Roden,
aye.
Schmidt, Teason, Trebek-Berry, Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 35 ayes.
Senate Bill 72 has received an affirmative vote of a two-thirds majority of the members-elect and is declared passed.
Senate Bill 74. An act to direct the Office of the Attorney General to study the creation of a state medical examiner system and to declare an emergency.
Senate Bill 74 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Abdallah.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is probably the best bill of the session. Originally, this bill had a $15,000 appropriation. And there's so many people excited about getting this bill into action. The Association of County Commissioners, Minnehaha County Commission, and the Attorney General of South Dakota each kicked in one-third and paid the $15,000 expense. So there is no expense. This bill is an act to have the Attorney General conduct an investigation and a study and bring it to the executive board of the legislature by November 1st, 2009. It directs the Attorney General to consult with appropriate interests, including sheriffs, police chiefs, county commissioners, criminal investigators, prosecutors, funeral directors, forensic pathologists, and the Department of Health and the University of South Dakota School of Medicine. Presently, we have 66 counties in South Dakota, and we have 66 coroners. Some coroners are qualified, like in Sioux Falls, we have a pathologist, and I believe they have one in Pennington County. Some counties have the funeral directors, some of them have a deputy sheriff, some of them have a plumber as a coroner. By this bill, and if it's successful, the Attorney General will, the state will have a medical examiner stationed wherever it's determined and have deputies throughout the state. We'll have uniform investigations on suspicious deaths. Presently, the law says any other than normal death must be attended by the sheriff. There's also a bill in the legislature that permits the sheriffs to order autopsies. A combination of these two bills will make South Dakota a uniform, all the counties uniform in the investigation of deaths, suspicious deaths, and deaths with foul play. Like I said, there was a $15,000 appropriation. That's been wiped out. And so with this body's permission, we can have the Attorney General conduct a study and have it to the executive board by November 1st, 2009. I urge you to pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 74? Seeing none, the question is final consideration of Senate Bill 74. Because the bill contains an emergency clause, a two-thirds affirmative vote of the members elect is required for passage. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah. Adelstein. Ahlers.
Aye.
Bartling.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Dempster.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Garnos.
Aye.
Gillespie.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hanson Tom.
Aye.
Hanson Gary.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Idaprim.
Aye.
Howie.
Aye.
Hunstead.
Aye.
Unhoff.
Aye.
Durstead.
Aye.
Locek. Knudsen,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Merchant,
aye.
Miles,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nesselhoff,
aye.
Nordstrup,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schmidt,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Trebek Berry, Valley,
aye.
Senator Adelstein,
aye.
Mr. President, there are 35 ayes.
Senate Bill 74 has received an affirmative vote of a two-thirds majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Questions on the title? The title is deemed correct. Members of the Senate, please join Senators Dempster and Heideprim and welcome the fourth and fifth grade class of All City Elementary here in Sioux Falls. I know that both of those senators' children were graduates of All City Elementary. They are here with School Board Member Deb Hoffman, and also Mrs. Greenough and Mrs. Pearson. Would you all please stand and be welcome from All City Elementary. We'll continue now with the debate of second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 113, an act to clarify certain provisions related to the provision of water services by municipalities or rural water systems in areas located within 3 miles of a municipality.
Senate Bill 113 has had its second reading, is now up for final consideration. Any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Klocek.
Mr. President, I come before you today in a kind of a unique situation. Senate Bill 113 was introduced as a measure to solve a problem that was in my district concerning the rural water systems. And when I'm done with my speech, I've asked another member to table the legislation. I do have a few remarks, however. What's happened, as long as I've been here, and that goes back a few years, there seems to be what I call turf wars, whether it be water, rural water, sanitary. I remember one at Rapid City over an airport, and over that whole issue out there with sanitary districts out there in Rapid as well. And here we go again.
There's been a lawsuit, and it was, and I want to apologize to our Municipal League friends and, of course, the good senator from Yankton. In committee, I may have said the city of Yankton instituted the lawsuit. That is not true. The city of Yankton was the cause of the lawsuit. BY Water initiated the lawsuit and to protect their rural water district. So if I misspoke, I certainly apologize for that. But the cause was the city of Yankton. As a result of the lawsuit, the city of Yankton lost $100,000 in attorney fees. They lost, according to the paragraph, and I will refer, 7 U.S.C. 1926B. Federal law, ladies and gentlemen, always supersedes state law. And it was very clear, and what this bill was trying to do was to clarify that. We still have a problem. The state statutes are still unfixed. This still, in my opinion, is going to be an issue. You know, it's said all the world is a stage and we are mere players in it. It's also said retreat to fight another day. And I would encourage that we do something. This will not be resolved with this legislation this year, but if this continues to be a problem, it shall return in one form or another to solve this problem once and for all, to settle this issue of who has the rights on these important issues. And water is a very, very important issue for the people of South Dakota. And, you know, my uncle was one of the founding members of BY Water. And he went to Washington. He went to Denver, Colorado. He secured the first bonds for the program. And a little gentleman called Tom Alberts and Avon helped with that and some other board members, Krieber and those folks. And they wanted to provide good quality drinking water to our farmers and our rural cities. And it went beyond that. As we got with the urban areas, the people with the annexation came in, the people near Yankton and near the more urban areas came in and wanted that water. They provided it to them, and then that's where the dilemma comes in. And it's still my opinion, if you want the water, annex the whole property, make it a part of your city, and pay the rural water systems accordingly for that annexation. Anyway, I would encourage you to table this bill, and I think this is the second time in my career I've asked to table a bill on the House or Senate floor. But it did have a good hearing. I thank those that stood up for this issue. And I did have an amendment we're going to offer, but we'll keep that in reserve. We do have another plan for this bill towards the end of session. I think it's called a hog house if we do need it. But I do ask that you take what's been handed to you, an article in the Yankton P&D, very seriously. And I call your attention to the last page. And it talks about the legal rights and the attorneys. We're from Parker and from Avon that did receive the $100,000. And I want our attorneys to be fairly paid, but I don't want them to be paid for unnecessary things that could have been avoided. And I think this could have been avoided. The mayor it refers to on that last paragraph explained because his company represented the firm in the negotiations that were trying to buy one of the property involved. And the water systems in Yankton are moving forward. Let's hope that they can get along in the future and this legislation will not be necessary in the future. In conclusion, this legislation did get the point across, and our state is moving forward, and let us live to work for the people of South Dakota for another day. And with that, I would ask that you fix this legislation at this time. Thank you, Mr. President, honorable members of the body.
Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Bartling.
I move to table Senate Bill 113.
Is there a second? Moved and seconded to table Senate Bill 113. That's a non-debatable motion. It would constitute final action, so a roll call vote is required. Those in favor of tabling Senate Bill 113 say aye. Those opposed say no. The motion is to table.
Senator Abdullah? Edelstein? Ollers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster? Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom? Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim? Howie? Hunstead?
Aye.
Unhoff?
Aye.
Jurstead?
Aye.
Pocheck?
Knutson,
Maher,
aye.
Merchant,
aye.
Miles,
aye.
Nelson. Nesselhoff. Norstrup. Olson. Peterson. Roden. Schmidt. Teason. Trubeck-Berry. Valley. Senator Abdullah. Senator Adelstein votes no. Senator Abdullah? Abdullah? Senator Abdullah? Senator Klocek votes no. Mr. President, there are 32 ayes, 2 nays, 1 excused.
So the motion has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members-elect. Motion carries. Senate Bill 113 is placed on the table. For those of you students, that means that the bill is just set aside, almost like setting it on the table. Unless a majority of the members-elect vote to take it off the table later in the session, it'll die there.
Senate Bill 155. An act to provide for the revision of certain offensive geographic place names.
Senate Bill 155 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Bradford.
President, Senate Bill 155 is a bill that is somewhat overdue. And I was part of that legislature in 2001 that passed a bill to remove all geographic names that were offensive. And a lot of those names were removed, but a lot of those names were not removed. And we're about to have the great opportunity to see that that is done. This bill forms a commission of no cost to the state of South Dakota, which will be composed of the state tribal relations chairman, state tribal commission, Ron Campbell, and several other heads of state departments. And they will meet once a year to see that these names are removed. If you look in the bill, you will see in the back that the names that have not been removed are there, and some recommendations of names to replace those are there. I wish we could add a few names. My home place at Parmalee is still on the map where my home is there. It's called Scabby Creek. And it's on the map. If you look on the map, you'll see Scabby Creek. And that's where I was born and raised. Well, as a kid, I got kidded a lot about how's everything out at Scabbyville or what. So I can see how. But these names that they're removing are directly offensive. And I think we as a legislature ought to be pretty well unified on the fact that we South Dakotians don't need to have these kinds of names on the books. So I appreciate your support.
Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Adelstein.
This is an important bill, maybe not for those of us in this room who were elected this last election, because I know how we feel and how the voters feel about us. But until these names are changed, we're going to continue to send a message to children and visitors and those who don't understand the true values of this fantastic state. Send the message that somehow we think of other people differently than we think of ourselves. I certainly hope this will go through 35-0.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Senate Bill 155, final consideration. As your name is called, those in favor say aye, those opposed say no. Secretary, call the roll.
Senator Abdullah? Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster? Frisley? Gant? Garnos? Gillespie? Gray? Hanson Tom? Hanson Gary? Haverly? Heideprim? Howie? Hunstead? Unhoff? Gerstead? Klocek? Knudsen? Maher? Merchant? Miles? Nelson? Nesselhoff? Nordstrup? Olson? Peterson? Roden? Schmidt? Teason? Trebekberry? Valley? Mr. President, there are 35 ayes.
Senate Bill 155 has received an affirmative vote of a unanimous Senate elect and is declared passed. We'll move now to second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1088, an act to provide for the continuance of certain ex parte temporary protection orders.
House Bill 1088 has had its second reading, is now for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Knudsen? Senator Gillespie?
Well, thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. House Bill 1088 is a bill that was brought to the floor and to the committees by the request of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And what the bill does is provides for an opportunity for the court to grant a continuance on ex parte temporary protection orders. An individual comes to the courthouse, to the clerk's office, and requests a protection order, they are granted a temporary protection order and have to allege facts to receive that relief from the court. And under current law, a 30-day temporary protection order hearing is scheduled. And, Mr. President, if I might, I have an amendment at the desk.
Senator Gillespie moved that House Bill 1088 be amended as follows. House Bill 1088-JB.
Is there a second? Does any member not have a copy of 1088-JB? Senator Olson, do you need a copy? Senator Brown needs a copy? Any member not have a copy? I'll ask the secretary to read it. It's very brief.
On the Senate Judiciary Committee engrossed bill, delete the Senate Judiciary Committee amendments, thus restoring the bill to the House Judiciary Committee engrossed version.
It has been seconded. Remarks on the amendment, Senator Gillespie.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I speak to the amendment in the bill?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I apologize for scrambling here, members of the body. I hadn't anticipated pitching the bill, but What the bill does in conjunction with the amendment is allow for the court to grant a continuance of that temporary protection order hearing. In committee, I was part of mucking up the water, so it's only appropriate that I try to get the muck out of the water. What we're asking that the floor do here is bring the bill back to the House Judiciary version. What we did in Senate Judiciary was we amended the bill to provide that the temporary or that the continuance could only be for 7 days. And the judicial branch had asked that the continuance be granted for up to 30 days. We had some discussions in committee. There were concerns on my part and on the part of others that perhaps a respondent may be prejudiced by a circumstance where the protection order, the temporary protection order hearing could be continued. My concerns have been alleviated because of the fact that the restrictions of 7 days are worse than the concerns that I had to bring the time frame for continuance down. 7 days just isn't enough. Right now,
circuit court dockets. If they were to reschedule a hearing within the next 7 days, frankly, there's in many cases not any time period within those next 7 days that the continued hearing could be docketed. In addition, if we amend the, or if we leave the bill in its form and it does pass and goes to the governor in current form with a 7-day time frame, what would we could be forcing parties, petitioners and respondents to do is come back over and over again on a 7-day basis. 30 days is a more reasonable amount. If you restrict it to 7 days, what we could find is the petitioner would have to file a new protection order over and over again. So the concerns that we had about the respondent really in reality are eliminated by giving the extra 30 days. Sometimes a respondent could only be served a day or two before the hearing, so they don't even have time to line up a lawyer, a witness. I had forgotten that the rules of civil procedure that ultimately give most individuals fair notice of a hearing do not apply here. Sometimes it's hard to find the respondent within those 30 days, and so then the respondent is prejudiced because they are forced to come to court and potentially have a hearing when they've only had 1 day to get their witnesses together, to find a lawyer, and so on and so forth. So really, this truly is a fairness issue for the respondent to give the 30 days as opposed to my initial conclusions in committee where I was trying to help the respondent by limiting it to 7 days. And so in reality, let's bring the bill down to the 30-day time period and give the courts that opportunity to consider just cause and give that extra window of time. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on the amendment? Question then is the amendment. Those in favor of the Gillespie Amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carried. Further remarks on House Bill 1088 as amended. Seeing none, the question is final consideration of House Bill 1088 as amended. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah.
Aye.
Adelstein. Ahlers.
Aye.
Bartling.
Aye.
Bradford. Brown, Dempster, Frisley, Gant, Garnos, Gillespie, Bray, Hanson Tom, Hanson Gary, Haverly, Heideprim, Howie, Hunstead, Unhoff, Jurstead, Klocek, Knudsen, Maher, Merchant, Miles,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nesselhoff,
aye.
Nordstrup,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson, Roden,
aye.
Schmidt, Thiessen,
no.
Trebek-Berry, Valley,
aye.
Senator Adelstein,
aye.
Okay, Senator Garnos votes aye. Mr. President, there are 34 ayes, one nay.
House Bill 1088, as amended, has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members-elect and is declared passed. And the title still appears to be good.
House Bill 1089, an act to provide the court with discretion in ordering certain hearings on protection order petitions.
House Bill 1089 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Gillespie.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. House Bill 1089 is also a bill that was brought at the request of the Chief Justice. We heard this committee in Senate Judiciary. It came over from the House. Under current law, for a protection order or a stalking order, if the court receives an application, a petition, for a protection order or a stalking order, the court has to order a hearing. They are mandated to order or to schedule that hearing and issue the protection order. What this bill would do is it provides, and you can see in the language of the bill, it provides some language qualifying the need to order the hearing. The qualifying language is if sufficient grounds are alleged for relief. And what that means is the petition has to state grounds which would qualify under the law for the granting of a protection order or a stalking protection order. And so that's all the bill does. It's a good adjustment. It gives the court the ability to filter those cases. And in addition, members, it does add the additional language regarding the opportunity to grant a continuance, which you just considered in the previous bill. And so with that, I would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Anything further? Hearing none, the question is final consideration of House Bill 1089. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bella? Aye. Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
No.
Dempster? Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Idaprim? Howie, Hunstead, Unhoff, Durstead, Klocek, Knudsen, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Nordstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Thiessen, Trebek-Berry, Valley. Mr. President, there are 35 ayes.
House Bill 1089 has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Any questions on the title? The title is then deemed correct.
House Bill 1053, an act to repeal the prohibition against the resale of certain seized or abandoned property purchased from the Secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks.
House Bill 1053 has had its second reading now and is up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Howie.
Thank you. I have an amendment that's been circulated.
Has it been distributed, sir?
Yes, it's 1053-TB.
Is there a second? Does any member not have a copy of the Howie Amendment 1053-TB? Any member not have a copy? Reading is waived. Has been seconded. Senator Howie on the amendment.
May I speak to the amendment and the bill?
Yes, that's granted.
Thank you. I'll give you just a brief explanation of this amendment and where we're at with this bill. The bill in its original form was an act to repeal a prohibition of the sale of seized or abandoned property purchased from the Secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks. And so that would have allowed them the opportunity to sell skulls, antlers, hides, and that sort of thing. In committee, I saw it as an opportunity to correct a problem that I thought existed, so I seized the moment and added an amendment which passed committee. That amendment simply read, if any person finds a skull, antler, or carcass of a game animal, and would provide an affidavit that the animal was not taken illegally, they were deemed to have lawful possession. That amendment, while it passed committee, wasn't warmly received by Game, Fish, and Parks, and so hence the amendment. And the amendment that I have before you this morning restores the bill to the form that it was originally when it was presented to the committee. And I offer that amendment with the assurance from the Game, Fish, and Parks that I'd just like to read to you. Over the next few months, we'll work with staff at the GF&P Commission to craft administrative rules to address your concerns. The rules would outline provisions by which citizens could take possession of dead wildlife if there was clear and compelling evidence that the death of the animal did not occur as a result of an illegal act. So the long and the short is that they have agreed that they will address that what I have deemed to be a deficiency in administrative rules over the course of the next few months. And so I would encourage you to pass the amendment, which restores the bill to its original form. It's a good bill. Vote for the bill. Thank you.
Questions, the amendment? Further remarks on the amendment? Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I want to thank Senator Howie for working with the GF&P and resolving this issue. Also want to just take a brief opportunity to clarify that I know that a number of people have received emails specifically on 1053 and assure you that the nature of those concerns brought forward in those emails was surrounded, taken care of by the amendment that we're putting on today. And in fact, the bill that in its original form was very harmless and simply corrected a problem that's deemed to exist by the Game, Fish, and Parks as far as people buying surplus property and then reselling it at a farm or at, say, a garage sale or events like that. So I'd urge you to support the amendment and pass the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on the amendment? Question then is the amendment. Those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carried. Further remarks on House Bill 1053 as amended? Seeing none, the question is final consideration of House Bill 1053 as amended. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah? Adelstein? Ollers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye. Unhoff?
Aye. Jurstead?
Aye.
Klocek?
Aye.
Knudsen?
Maher, aye.
Merchant,
aye.
Miles,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nesselhoff,
aye.
Nordstrup,
aye.
Olson, Peterson, Roden,
aye.
Schmidt,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Sherbach-Berry,
aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 35 ayes.
House Bill 1053, as amended, has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members-elect and is declared passed. And I believe the title is still good.
House Bill 1097, an act to provide for certain filing fees and surcharges in certain civil cases and to provide exemptions in certain cases.
House Bill 1097 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks?
President.
Senator Abdullah.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 1097 is a whole list of fee increases for various charges by the clerk of courts. This bill had almost unanimous support, except on page 2, line 12, the $50 charge for petitions and motions to modify child support orders. There was some concern about that. Last Tuesday, we were on a conference call for an hour and a half with the Child Support Commission, of which I chaired last year, and the proponents of this bill and the judge, Representative from the judges, Judge Rappel. We reached an agreement on that $50 fee, and that therefore the bill is good to go. And that $50 fee goes to equal access to the courts, and that's the way that the South Dakota Bar raises their fees for the equal access. And like I said, the only discussion we had was on the petitions to modify child support. And the court has the authority, and it says right in the bill, except if the petitioner or moving party is a recipient of his assistance benefits pursuant to Title 28. And the court still has the authority to waive any of the $50 fees on that if they feel that the person has just lost their job or has financial problems, even if they're not under Title 28. So therefore, I'd urge the body to support House Bill 1097, and I think there's other speakers on behalf of this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on House Bill 1097? Senator Gillespie.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body, at the risk of irritating everybody from me getting up so often today, I'll try to be short. I would urge your support of the bill. There's been a great deal of work that went into this legislation. It's greatly needed legislation. We're one of only three states who provide no funding. So there is a great need for legal services here in South Dakota. And I just ask that you remember that this filing fee on modifications of custody orders, visitation orders, and child support orders, right now, if an individual has a file at the courthouse, for example, perhaps a divorce or a child custody file between the parent of the child, if it wasn't a marital situation, that's a one-time filing fee. And those individuals don't have to pay a fee again. And they can come back to court again and again and again to seek modifications of a custody order. For example, if you want to change custody to the non-custodial parent, if you seek some changes in visitation, if you seek a change in your child support. And those individuals use the court system, and they pay that one-time filing fee, and then they never pay another filing fee. And yet they're using the court system and utilizing public dollars in that regard. And so I think the $50 fee is a modest request to gain access to the courts and to jurisdiction. As Senator Abdallah has properly indicated, there's opportunities, if you can't afford the filing fee, to fill out the affidavit. And then in addition, it was specifically testified to in committee that in the child support packets, which was one of my greatest concerns, is individuals who cannot afford to pay that $50 if they need a child support modification. That affidavit to waive the filing fee will go right out in the packet that Social Services mails out at request, and it will also be posted on the internet where individuals can access that request for a modification. And then in addition, if you receive Title 28 benefits, you're automatically exempted from the filing fee. So if you're receiving TANF or food stamps or county poor relief, you don't have to file that $50 filing fee. And so with that, members, I would certainly urge your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question is final consideration of House Bill 1097. Because the fees that are addressed in this bill go to a continuously appropriated funds, a two-thirds affirmative vote is required for passage. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bella? Aye. Adelstein? Aye. Ollers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford? Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Idaprim?
Aye.
Howie? Hunstead? Unhoff? Jurstead? Polchek? Knudsen? Maher? Merchant? Miles? Nelson? Nesselhoff? Nordstrup? Olson? Peterson? Roden? Schmidt? Thiessen? Trebekberry? Valley? Mr. President, there are 35 ayes.
House Bill 1097 has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct. That concludes our business. Are there any announcements? Senator Jurstead?
Thank you, Mr. President. My friends and colleagues of the Senate, I have an important announcement concerning a date that's coming up in the future. And in my hand, I have registration forms. This is for the most important basketball game that will occur this spring. It's for the basketball game between the senators and the representatives. I just want you to know that for those of you who may be brand new, the Senate won this game last year, very exciting game. I'm sure that Senator Roden is very happy to be part of us this year and not over there. And he was a big player for them last year, and he's going to be a big player for us this year. But we need other players. He can't be the only one out here playing. So I know that Senator Garnos is going to be playing for us and will be the hot shot Trey man over there. But we need a lot of others. Senator Knudsen, I hope I can count on you as you've played in the past. And looking around the room here, I see lots of able-bodied folks that I hope will be out there and playing. I'm going to be contacting all of you with one of these sheets, and we'll be pressing hard on this. I'm going to have a team with me. And what it asks you to do is put down your name. If you're going to be playing, please put down your nickname that you want. I've already got a couple of players here. One of them is Matt Dunker Duff, or Dutt, an intern. And Dan White Chocolate Thunder, this guy right here. So it's really a lot of fun, whether you play or whether you come to watch. And my hope would be that we'll have 100% attendance in terms of giving to Kids for Voting, which is what this is about. And by the way, our president, our very own president, also has played in the past and been a very forceful player out on the court, very, very tall. He can go up and dunk whenever he wants to, so that's always fun to see. And I already have a nice $10 donation from my Senator Hunstead back here. So I would hope that if you aren't going to play that you'll at least donate. And I'm even though there was a governor very recently that was impeached and taken out of office, I am not above pay for play here. And over here I have Neiman Marcus chocolate chip cookies for anybody that turns in their registration to me today. You get one of these. So a little bit of incentive there, motivation. And if not, we'll be around to see you. So it's March 4th, 7 o'clock in the evening. It's tons of fun. And by the way, I negotiated so that the house over there cannot recruit any ringers. They have to play with what they got, okay? We, on the other hand, get to have 5 ringers. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements? Senator Dempster.
2 announcements. Senate State Affairs, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Republican caucus right as we adjourn. Thank you.
Further remarks or further announcements? Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. Joint appropriations tomorrow at 7:30, DOC.
Senator Edelstein.
Health and Human Services tomorrow morning at 7:45, and we will not be playing basketball there.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Tom Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Tax Committee at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Any further announcements? Senator Valley?
Senate Transportation, 8 o'clock.
Anything further? Not a motion to adjourn is in order.
Senator Teason moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
Is there a second? Motion and seconded to adjourn. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We're adjourned.